And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast live from the Ringer Studios in Los Angeles, California.
Unbelievable.
Where I am thrilled to be joined by my old boss, my friend, CEO, head chef, head custodian, head of maintenance of the Ringer, Bill Simmons. How you doing?
Head decorator of the studio.
This does have Those Bill Simmons written all over it.
Yeah, a lot of them are from the Grantland studio. That fast break one, this Choose Your Weapon. Jabbar's Law was from the Grantland TV show. So was this Wings thing. Yeah. When I left, I was like, I need my stuff back.
It's your stuff.
Got all the stuff back. It's my stuff.
It's your stuff.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Lives on. I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying this NBA season. Night to night, I enjoy League Pass. I think we have like 12 to 14 teams I enjoy watching, including two bad ones. And,
Who are the bad ones? Atlanta?
Washington is just flat out fun to watch.
They're amazing.
They're flat out fun to watch, period. Atlanta, I do not enjoy watching, and I actually have some really hot, scorching hot Atlanta.
Love it. I think we will organically
even,
get to
honestly,
one.
The best take is they're not even worth it. They're just not.
Wow.
They built a fantasy basketball team around a guy to shoot 27 times a game, and they stink. And they don't value anything that works and when you actually want to win at basketball. So congratulations.
I was big, big wrong about one team, and that's the Pacers. I will cop to that.
Me too.
I was totally wrong about the Pacers. One of the teams I was right about was Atlanta. And I wrote they were in my poo-poo tier, and I wrote, anyone thinking these guys are going to be in the race for the eighth seed needs to look at this roster again. They're too young. At the bottom, like even with Collins, it's like first and second year dudes. Vince is 42, and then like four guys who are just there as contracts, basically. Let's not talk about Atlanta.
And Charlotte's the other one who I think is watchable.
They have a
knack for bringing good games out of the other team, and I can't really explain it because you look at their roster and you're like, Marvin Williams. I didn't want to watch him 8 years ago, and they have all these dudes. But the Graham thing's really fun. He's exciting.
He's really good, and all the catch and shoot threes Terry Rozier missed in Game 7 against Cleveland in 2018, he's now making. For the Hornets,
he'll sprinkle in the 4 for 17 every 10 days or so. Just to keep you on your toes.
So we're 30 games in.
Yeah,
I know you love the big awards and you love all NBA because it matters. It matters to both of us. It's history.
Yeah,
and we're now the sample size is big enough. For us, like, let's do it. Let's have some fun and do MVP. And I gave you homework. I made you do the first three All NBA teams. What you're doing, I think you're doing that night to night anyway, in your own head.
I'd like to make a list so I know, I have a picture in my head what's going on. I look at this, this is like the Kentucky Derby, which is a short race, but when they come around that first bend, whoever's in the lead, that can usually be a good thing, and it feels that way this year. Like, I feel like Giannis has an almost insurmountable lead at this point. So we can talk about the race.
All right, let's start with MVP.
If you're going to put up a 31-14 and win 65 games, you're winning the MVP. You just are.
So right off the bat, I filled out my full five-man ballot, 1 to 5. The order is one thing we'll clip on, but it sounds like I don't understand why it's not a slam dunk that it's Giannis. People are going to throw at me, well, Harden's averaging 39 a game and like dragging the Rockets to an 18-9 record.
He's dragging them, all right.
Well, per 36 minutes, Giannis is averaging 36 points a game. Harden is averaging 37. So scoring is equal, except the Bucks are so good that Giannis doesn't have to play a million minutes and this gets into these theoretical discussions about so if you look at their on-off stuff, Giannis takes a good team. Like, the Bucks are good without Giannis.
Yeah.
And the Rockets are horse without Harden. And so the Harden people – and Harden's a great candidate. We use that as evidence that Harden is more valuable. They'll take the value and the valuable argument. But, first of all, you shouldn't punish a player for having good players and good coaching around him unless you get to a Warriors level where it's like your team is so good no one can be the MVP. And Giannis taking a good team and making them great is very valuable too. And so, you do this sliding scale thing, which, how much does roster context matter? But, the Bucks are deep and they're cool and they have a bunch of decent players. Like, it's not like the Bucks have incredible talent around Giannis.
Don't even have another person I would consider for the All-Star team right now.
Middleton. Middleton's making a case. 19 a game, great shooting. The best team always gets two All-Stars.
There's so many forwards in the East, though.
I don't see.
I think they're going to be in one All-Star team.
They might be.
Unless they go to the break at 38-4 or something. Then we'd all have to look at each other and go, we need a second buck.
To me, he's the best player on the best team.
Well, but wait, you made the key point. this ends the Giannis discussion right here. The per 36.
Yeah.
The per 36, what he's doing this year is actually historic. So to put it in perspective, he's playing basically 31 minutes a game. He's averaging 36, 13, and 5 in the 36 minutes. There's no parallel to it. If you go through all the per 36s, you're not going to find anything close to that. And Harden's playing 38 minutes a game, and they're actually like playing him a lot of minutes because it seems like they're trying to get him to these different stats things. But like, Giannis is basically averaging a point a game. I mean, a point a minute.
Yeah.
And I looked through and I was like, well, I wonder if this has happened before. And the answer is like, no, this doesn't happen. Well, so he's playing 31 minutes a game, and in those minutes, he's getting a point a minute. He's getting almost a rebound a minute, and he's getting like a fifth of an assist a minute. It's fucking insane. And he's probably one of the best three defensive players?
And he might be the best defensive player in the league. So, and this is one of the things, like, I think LeBron is also a great candidate. We're going to get to where we put LeBron on our ballots, but everyone's like, oh, LeBron, like, really buying in on defense this year, really defending. I'm like, well, that's cool. Like, Giannis never stopped playing defense. Yeah. Like, so Giannis being awesome at defense continuously is somehow, like, boring and not as relevant in the MVP race as LeBron being like, you know what? This year I'm trying. This year I'm going to try on defense. Like, great. Congratulations. To me, this is not – I guess it's close just because if someone's averaging 39 points per game.
It's not
but
close.
But to me, it's clearly Giannis. And the only argument in Harden's favor – like, it's not even the points. The only argument in Harden's favor is how bad the Rockets are without him. And that is not persuasive to me in an MVP
But they're
argument.
Bad without him because they built a team that can only exist with him.
Maybe. I mean, they're bad without him because Russ has not shot it well, so the Russ-only minutes are bad.
But they
Aaron Gordon's hurt. Gerald Green's
hurt. Ben McLemore, Austin Rivers, like these are guys who can do certain things and that's it. And they built this team of guys, certain thing guys, to build around Harden. If you pull him out of that, it's like if you have a TV show with built around one actor and then that guy's not on there. If you took Mariska Hargitay out of Law and Order, SUV, whatever that show is.
Wow.
Is it the same show? I apologize to Giannis. 36 and a half points now in 36.
Yeah,
it's
essentially equal. The scoring is now equal per minute with Harden.
Here's the other thing, and we touched on a little bit. To me, what I want from the true MVP is the games like the Memphis game. What was that, a week ago? When he put 17 in the fourth quarter?
Yes, he's had a bunch of big fourth quarters.
But he's doing the true MVP thing, which is basically, I'm not losing tonight. And I know it's a random game. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if we lost this. We'll get him next time. He just doesn't do that. He's fifth gear every game. I think he's awesome to watch. I love having guys like this. I talked to KG about it when he was on my podcast this week. These guys that just take it seriously, the schedule. It's like I'm in Charlotte tonight. These Charlotte fans, they're going to see me twice. I'm giving them a show. I'm in Atlanta. I'm in Houston. I'm like, he takes that seriously. And I think that's part of this.
You mentioned, I'm not sure I completely buy your argument about, I do to some degree actually, about Houston building a team that exists to support Harden and how that, and I do think that one of these things about the Lucas and the Hardens and even the LeBrons, the sort of, the star around which everything orbits, right? When those guys sit on the bench, some of those teams don't know how to play. And like some of LeBron's people, like some of the guys that play with LeBron in Cleveland would be like, our bench, even when Love and Irving were both on the floor, they would still be terrible because it's like, we don't really have an offense. We have LeBron. The Bucks are like, they're kind of delightful to watch when Giannis sits. They're still like plus eight per 100 possessions. You know why? They have a bunch of basketball players. They have a bunch of guys who know how to cut and screen and make the extra pass. It's like the ball is still moving. Like it's weird. You have these lineups where like, how are these guys so good? But they all know how to play. They all know how to play independent of Giannis. But that shouldn't punish him. You can't punish Giannis in the MVP race because of that.
It's a little like the Toronto model, right? They have guys who can either create a shot or take a shot.
Toronto moves the ball.
That's why Toronto wins the finals last year. They have seven guys who in some form or another can actually create a shot. And I think you look at those Cleveland teams without LeBron and it was like, well, what are they going to do if he's not playing? And George Hill was hurt, so that wasn't helping them either. And I never felt like he was 100%.
George Hill, by the way, shooting 50-something percent from three this year.
He's also a quiet, like still under 30 guy.
Is he really?
I think he's 29.
George Hill's 29.
Yeah, it feels like he's 37, like he's been in the league since 1994 or something, but is he 29 or 30? 29?
He is 33.
Oh.
Still younger.
Wow. Bad information on that one. No wonder you were so surprised.
I was very surprised. I was about
He's 33? When did he come in the league? He's a young 33.
2009.
Oh, man. I knew I wasn't going to throw a no-hitter on this podcast.
So I assume, obviously, we had Harden, LeBron, Luka, 2, 3, 4 in some order in this. Oh.
Yeah. This is going to be our first argument.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Just give me the full five then. Just give me 1 to 5.
I agree that a Laker should be second.
Oh my God.
I just want to talk it out. Are we sure it's LeBron?
I'm sure.
I've watched
LeBron,
a lot of Laker games this year because I live on the West Coast. I think other than Giannis, Davis has been the best two-way player this year. I think in the last 5 minutes of the game, of a game, especially a clutch game, and we're going to get to watch it tonight.
Clutch
with a K too. Bucks Lakers tonight. Last 5 minutes, he has a way of kind of taking over on both ends that feels very MVP-ish to me. And I know LeBron, he's having an awesome season, but to me, it reminds me of 2011 when Wade and LeBron, it was hard for me to separate them. It was hard for me to say, this guy's more valuable than this guy. I actually felt, I remember writing this in my book. Sometimes you have these years where there's like co-MVPs and from the same team. Like Havlicek and Cowens were like that in 1973. And I think Wade and LeBron were like that in 2011. And if Giannis wasn't there this year, I think there's a great co-MVP case for them because it's really hard for me to separate those two guys.
And they're so much better than everyone on their team. You know, they are everything the Lakers are is because of those guys and the way they complement each other on both ends of the floor, and the way that, just the way that they've fit that roster. So do you have them 2-3? T2?
I wanted to talk T2. It out. There's a world in which I could have AD 2 and LeBron 5, and there's a world in which I could have LeBron 2 and AD 5, and I don't really know the right answer. Probably leaning toward LeBron. I was trying to think, like, if each guy disappeared for 20 games, what would happen to them? And I actually think it would be worse if Davis disappeared. Cause he does so much stuff for them, and especially like the interior defense and the big rebounds and things like that. It would just change what their team is.
His defense has been ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I don't ever remember him in New Orleans being on that level on that end like this before. Well, I know he's getting, so the case against him is he's not even at 10 rebounds a game. All right. So why is
his
that?
Stats,
well, JaVale and Dwight are always out there. They're grabbing rebounds from him, all that stuff, but 9 rebounds a game is the lowest he's been.
His shooting is just okay. Like he's shooting horribly from three. And I'm going to bring up his numbers now. 49% overall, 32% from three, 54 from two. That's like average-ish for him, a little bit below average for him. The only case against him, and again, you can read into this what you want, Davis on the floor, LeBron on the bench, the Lakers have been bad. So like when it's been Davis's team, they're like -5 per 100 possessions. That's a tiny sample size. There's a bunch of things that go into that. It could flip today and flip dramatically for the rest of the season. But when it's been LeBron by himself, they've been awesome. And just when I watch them play, the feeling I get is we're back to seeing LeBron at the peak of his powers.
Yeah.
Controlling every single thing that's happening on the floor. Just almost arrogantly looking over the floor, knowing exactly where to go, what's going to happen. And just that feeling I get. And those numbers, to me, right now, LeBron is ahead of AD in the MVP race, despite the fact that AD's maybe been the best defender. LeBron's been good on defense this year, I think. And when LeBron's good, he's really good. But AD's been on another planet. But to me, when I watch them, I just see LeBron lording over the game with such power that the identity of the team flows from him.
I think that's fair. So here's the caveat I put. I agree with you, and ultimately I was leaning toward LeBron at 2. I wanted to talk it out. I think as the season goes along, though, I could see it flipping.
Absolutely.
LeBron physically has looked awesome, but he's still heading towards 60,000 minutes here.
He looks insane,
given
how he looked last year and then the injury and the minute total you just mentioned. It's really insane how
he's not
looks.
Doing the pacing the game to take little breaks here and there thing as much as he did. To me, he looks more like 2014-ish LeBron with what he's doing. But I do think, like you mentioned the Davis, the shooting and stuff, that could flip pretty easily.
Yeah.
Like he could go on a stretch. Those threes that he's taking, and it's shocking that he's only at 32%. Those threes that he's taking are pretty much always wide open. He's just not making them. So.
And his post game, which they're feeding him more than anyone in the league other than Embiid, he's been great.
Are we sure he's 100% healthy?
Well, he's missed a couple games now. He missed a game last night in Indiana.
Because he definitely has like some sort of shoulder thing.
Oh, the shoulder thing's been off and on.
Because he's got that huge brace thing that, and then sometimes you see him doing this.
Is he ever 100% healthy?
Maybe he's not one of the, and meanwhile, LeBron's the opposite. LeBron's had like one injury in his entire life. Other than the tragic broken hand in the 2018 finals.
So I'll just do my
hand shattered in 11.
Which you broke the news to me.
11 bones broke.
You broke the news to me.
Some cast came off a week later. All right, so LeBron 2. And then who do you have Harden versus Luka?
I didn't have LeBron.
Who's your 2?
I had Harden 2.
Really?
Just, again, you could, for the angry Laker fans, Laker fans aren't even angry. They're just so delighted that the team is good and hated again. Every Laker fan I come across is just so excited. You can split 2, 3, 4 to me anyway, between these three guys. They've all been so good. I just think to me, the gap, and again, this gets at the value thing and the tricky part of weighing roster context. The gap between Davis's number 2 and Russ's number 2 is so big that Harden has had a heavier load propping up the Rockets than LeBron. That's the only justification I have. Aside from that, Harden is unbelievable and his shooting has quietly now ticked up to where you expect it to be after a bad start. But I won't quibble, but I had Harden too.
Russ has literally been number 2 in half of these games.
Oof.
Some games he's been okay.
Yeah.
Here's my quibble with it, and this is why I can't put him number 2. How many times does this team just take the first half off?
Houston?
Yeah. Like, if you're a gambler, a great move would be to just bet the other team in the first half because Houston basically is going to play a half of defense. Harden and Westbrook together, they'll ratchet it up as the game goes along. But you can put up 77 on them in the first half, and it's happened.
Yeah.
It's happened multiple times.
And the Lakers have been ferocious on defense all year. Credit to them.
It's funny. Some would argue too ferocious. It's like, it's a 100 game season. What are you guys trying to prove here?
They've been fun because they've had some games lately that have been tough on the road and they've fallen behind and they want to win. They're like, we're not mailing in this game at Memphis that we're behind by 8 or whatever. Like they took pride in being 24-3. Like and they lost opening nights. They were 24-2.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think LeBron's been on a really, really, really good team for 7 years. The last really good team was that win streak Heat team.
No.
None of those Cavs teams were like incredible. I think they had the ceiling of being incredible game to game. He hasn't been on a team that could rip through, like go on a West Coast trip, right? In this case, an East Coast trip and win all 8.
They didn't have the hunger for the regular season way this team appears to.
Because he had Kyrie. You and I are aligned on that 16-17 Cavs team offensively, the ceiling of it. But
that was the best Cleveland team in LeBron era.
Night to night, they weren't wired like this though, where it was like, we're going to go 8-0 in this road trip and it's happening. I never felt like those Cavs teams.
That's why what they did in the playoffs when they went 12-1 against the East.
Right.
So like, oh, they started trying now.
This
is crazy.
They had an on and off switch. And I think this Lakers team has gone really hard. And I think there's 2 reasons for it. Well, actually there's 3. One is that Davis has never been on a good team. So it's really fun to be on a good team. We're like, this is great. We're winning every game. I remember when it happened to my daughter in soccer when her team suddenly became good and she was like, this is amazing. We go to the game and I think we're going to win. And she was so buoyed by it. I think LeBron, the season he had last year was one of those, like, you know, it puts stuff in perspective for you
like,
in a lot of ways.
This sucks. Being mediocre at age 35 sucks.
I'm in this super dysfunctional situation. I have my Magic Johnson quitting with a day to go in the season. I'm playing with all these young dudes. I got LeVar Ball and the freaking Bus family. I have no number 2 guy. And did I make a mistake? I ditched Cleveland. And, you know, and he sat out the playoffs. He wasn't in. Wasn't involved in any storyline.
Yeah. Well, he's actually talked about whether he watched the games or not. I think he said he did watch all the playoff games.
I'm sure he did. But yeah, I think he seems rejuvenated, refreshed, and getting that break, I think, was really helpful.
So if you put him 2, that's fine. If you put AD 2, that's fine. I went Giannis, Harden, LeBron, Luka in that order as my top 4.
Well, the shame of the Luka thing, he gets hurt right as they're about to have this 5-game stretch where we're like, all right, he's playing everybody good all in a row. And it's like, all right, here we go. Let's see what we got here. And he gets hurt within a quarter.
There's no reason he's not number 1. I mean, these 4 players are so good that you're essentially just making up reasons other than Giannis being number one. Giannis is clearly the MVP. The other guys are just sort of making up reasons. And like, again, this doesn't feel great, but the Mavs are awesome without Luka. They're plus a lot with both Luka and Porzingis on the bench. And like, when you're splitting hairs, you got to find some hairs to split. And that's the only one I could find. The guy's been unbelievable. If you want to put him two, that's fine. To me, the story of Dallas is almost as much about, not almost as much about, is a lot about their depth. A lot about their depth. So I put him fourth. A
lot of smart mid-range Belichickian signings of guys in like the 7 to 9 million range. They have like five of those guys. The thing that's crazy to me though with them is they really haven't unlocked Porzingis at all. And it feels like it's starting to come on a little bit with him, and maybe he needed Luka to disappear for a couple games.
The Bucks game, felt big for him to to carry the team down the stretch.
I was shocked, and there's stats that back it up, like just how mediocre he is when you post him up.
He's not a good post player. He's just not.
But on the flip side, defensively, it's a little like Embiid. Like there's some really favorable stats with him around the rim and rim protection, stuff like that. But I just thought him and Luka, you know, like the way Indiana, Brogdon and Sabonis, which is like the best play of the year in terms of if you just want 2 points, it just seems like that's getting 2 points every time. I thought Luka and Porzingis would be like that. But the weird thing about Porzingis, he doesn't roll to the rim like that.
Well, he's never rolled to the rim.
Never, ever.
He doesn't want to set screens, real screens.
But he wants to pop backwards, which I think Luka's starting to figure out.
Well, and it's a very similar dynamic, honestly, to LeBron and AD with LA, in that you want them to run pick and roll all the time, but because they're playing with a traditional center, AD can't rim run into the paint because JaVale and Dwight are already there, and Dallas is playing with Powell or Kleba or other guys who are rim runners, and so Porzingis becomes the floor spacer. AD's been able to make that work because he's just a ridiculous post-up player. He's thrown the ball. KP can't do that, so it's been a little bit strange, but he's, you know, again, this is like a, you know, he took a year off. He's been off for 20 months. But they're good,
right? Man.
They're good. I like what you said about the 7 to 9 million guys. The way I put it before the season was, they don't have anyone who you'd be excited if they were your third best player, but they have a bunch of guys. If they're like your fifth best player, you're pretty excited. They have a bunch of fifth best players. That's good. Like they have a bunch of like Danny Green's level players.
Well, and this is on my podcast last week. I was talking about should they change the trade rules and make it the salaries only have to be within 50%, because what's happened is, the salaries are either too big or they're small. And this middle class of like the Robert Covington, Dinwiddie types that make 10 to 11 million who are actually good, there's like five of them.
This is why Marcus Smart's whole life is going to be trade rumors for his entire contract.
And honestly, and Spencer Dinwiddie and Covington and Josh Richardson and all these guys from 9 to 12 million are going to be in trades for the next 3 years. And, you know, I see stuff like, Every day there's a Kevin Love Portland rumor. Yep. I honestly don't think he gets traded. I think it's too risky for that money. I don't know where you unload it. And if it doesn't work out, you're basically all in. And if for some reason it's not a fit or whatever, you have no outs. It's like Chris Paul with OKC. Chris Paul's actually playing well. He had 30 points the other day.
He single-handedly destroyed the Bulls. He destroyed themselves like rather often in the
not
second
Not like
half
the hardest
game.
Thing to do, but yeah, he destroyed them. And they have nowhere to go. They have no outs because of these freaking trade rules we have where you have to get within 75-80%. And it's like, all right, well, that's $30 million. Miami's like, well, Deion Waiters, any interest? And they're like, no. So they're stuck with this guy who's still really good. He's one of the best 35 players in the league.
Yeah, I think so.
They can't trade him. And I don't think the Cleveland's going to be able to trade Kevin Love either.
I think I'm going to disagree, and I think Love gets moved.
You think Portland desperation?
There are a bunch of teams I would keep an eye on, and this is not sourced to be clear, but I would
like. Oh, you look at how scared you are of the aggregators. This is not sourced.
Not sourced.
Please don't aggregate this.
But like, I could see Phoenix taking a look. I could see Sacramento taking a look. Like, I could see. There are a couple other teams I could see kicking it
Sacramento.
Around.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
That's just not great for
look.
Kevin Love.
Phoenix is like, that's an irrational exuberance trade for Phoenix. It's like, let's just get Love, Ayton, Booker, like we're going to be good for a couple years. But I agree with you. Like there is a chance that all of these teams will be like, you know what? It's just too many years.
There's too many
years.
There's too many ways to get like Marcus Morris and you could just rent him. You know, if there's seven of those guys, why would I not want to do that for no cost over Kevin Love? And I'm all in on Kevin Love at that point.
I agree with you. Power, there's going to be a bunch of power forwards that
easiest position
acquire.
To get.
Go get Marvin Williams for nothing. You can go get, well, you can't get Davis Bertans for nothing anymore because he shoots about 25 threes a night and makes half of them.
I wanted to bring this up at some point. We might as well do it now. Is it over?
First team All NBA, Davis Bertans.
No, is it over for the Spurs?
Oh, this has been long past.
No, but I mean, like, over talking about them reverentially, like they're this team that's seven steps ahead of the curve. I think that day is over.
Well, they've lost.
When Pop waved Bam Adebayo 2 days into Team USA and then lets Bertans go to sign Marcus Morris for twice as much money, like, who is in the room helping him with decisions like that? Every time I watched a Spurs game last year, Bertans was, every time he was wide open, he made it.
Not even wide open. Like,
he's on everyone's list of, all right, if we had to find a wing guy who can make threes, who's on that list for an under $10 million? He would have been one of the first three guys mentioned. And they give him away to sign Marcus Morris? What was Marcus Morris going to do for them?
Well, Marcus Morris is playing well, first of all.
For $15 million bucks when I have Bertans at seven? Is that an upgrade?
One of the stories that has been whispered about in the league now for 2 years is the brain drain in San Antonio and all the people they've lost to other organizations and people whispering about, like, has it finally taken its toll on the Spurs? I mean, we don't need to talk about all the coaches, GMs and stuff that have left. Is it finally taken its toll? And, you know, I just think we're going to look back at the Leonard situation as a 30 for 30 kind of moment, because they had actually.
What about a TV movie, like a Lifetime movie?
Yeah.
With Jamie Foxx as Uncle Dennis.
I saw Uncle Dennis at the game last night. I talked to him for a little bit.
I got an argument recently with somebody about whether DeRozan has trade value or not.
The answer should be no.
So that was his answer.
And you think he does?
I was just like, if you're Denver and you could get DeRozan, no, why wouldn't you do that?
They're not going to do that.
And this person was like, there's no way. DeRozan has no trade value.
It's not a Denver that would do it. It would be like a Charlotte slash Detroit slash just desperate, mediocre Eastern Conference. Like Chicago would be like, let's get some scoring punch in
here. That was the name that got thrown at me was Detroit for their expirings. You put him in, you have a Derrick Rose, DeRozan backcourt. I'm still in the I like DeRozan camp. I just think if that guy's on the court in the last 5 minutes and I'm a 42-40 team, I'm okay with that. But
Bertans is
could he be on a contender though?
For this reason, last year the Spurs took a million mid-range shots and they had a top 10 offense. And so all the anti-analytics people are like, see all you analytics people, and you wag your fingers at the Spurs, their offense is still good. What happened kind of though was that they had an insane shooting season from everywhere on the floor. They were like number one in three-point shooting, number one in mid-range shooting, number one in floater shooting. Now they have regressed to the mean a little bit. Like they're having a normal shooting season and their offense is like 18th. And all of a sudden, yeah, it does matter that you've decided for whatever reason that we are going to turn back the clock on shot selection like 5 years. And part of that is personnel, but part of that is like, I don't want to get into this person too much. It's just
I think, you know, they're 10-16 and they pulled three of those 10 out of their asses. They really could be like 7-19. They had three of the luckier wins of the year,
including the protest win.
Right. And then they almost had another one last week that they ended up losing in overtime, or 2 days ago, but they might be one of the five worst teams in the league because their arrow's pointing this way. And you look at a couple of the other teams, like somebody like Memphis, who's a half game behind them. Memphis is frisky. You know?
So I don't know. What was your full five-man MVP ballot?
My full five, I wanted to talk out the LeBron thing, but I knew I had a Laker. Giannis, LeBron, I've Doncic 3, Harden 4, and AD 5. Davis 5. Yeah.
So I went Giannis, Harden, LeBron, Luka. And then 5 right now, I just put a question mark, but I limited it to two guys. Davis.
Can I guess the other one?
Yeah. You're not going to guess. And then you're going to laugh at me when I tell you who it is.
Devontae Graham?
No, but he was in the discussion. Pascal Siakam.
Oh, I'm not laughing at that.
And also in consideration were Damian Lillard, Blazers not good enough, Embiid, Towns, we'll talk about.
What are you talking about?
Just in consideration. That's it. The Blazers aren't good enough.
Without him, they would be a lottery team like they are now?
I just said he was in consideration and I crossed him off. That was the extent of his consideration. So I
thought you were going to say Bam Adebayo. I was so ready for like
rev up the bandwagon.
2012 Zach just going, getting ahead of the curve.
Let's do all NBA.
I love Bam Adebayo.
I really love Bam Adebayo, and I'm just going to put it. So I'm just going to limit it.
I like pronouncing his last name three different ways. I'm all in. I just call him Bam. Is he the best player on Miami or is Jimmy Butler? Let's start there. He's the most valuable player on Miami.
He's been Miami's MVP this year. Jimmy Butler's the best player, but he's been the most indispensable player on the Heat.
Did you see what he did to Porzingis in overtime of the Dallas-Miami game, which I wagered on?
Bam, I don't know what is in his hands, but he goes into a crowd of dudes that are all trying to get the ball.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone else falls over and Bam dunks. And you're like, what the f*** just happened?
Do you think we could have used him on Team USA?
You're really hung up on the Team USA.
I think Pop did an awful job and he should be embarrassed.
You didn't enjoy Miles Turner picking and popping and then like looking around like a frightened animal.
And Brooke Lopez, what were we doing? What kind of team were we trying to build?
We're gonna get
what was
revenge.
The identity
we're
of that
We're going
to
get
team?
Revenge in Tokyo. It's going to be all right.
Who's playing?
I don't know. Everybody will play. I hope.
Wait, can I do a little sorbet before we get to the NBAs?
Yes.
My all surprise team?
Yeah, do it.
So I was so excited to do this team, and then John Hollinger wrote his 10 surprises, and I think every guy that I had was on here.
I haven't read his column yet. It's in
there. Yeah, so you haven't read it yet. My forwards.
Well, can I?
Bertans.
Okay. He's the captain.
And, Exeter, Williams College.
Duncan Robinson.
Exeter and Williams College. This is like a dude that we would have gone to high school with who was like, hey, did you hear Duncan got a tryout with Miami? And now he's like playing crunch time for a playoff team. It's like, what is going on? Rashawn Holmes, who I've liked for 4 years.
He would have
been on my team in 2016. I would have just stolen him. Finally thriving. Devontae Graham, the MVP.
Oh, yeah. He might be the captain. You're right.
He is like Isaiah Thomas 2015-ish when he got traded to the Celtics.
Ooh.
And just was awesome immediately.
That.
It was like, where'd this come from? And then I thought Nunn was going to die. And then Nunn rallied the last 10 days, and he might be here to stay. I thought it was going to be Flip Murray. He's out of the league in a year. And I thought he had a nice rally. And I think Nunn, the fact that they could lose Dragic and not have to worry about point guard and the fact that he can play crunch time and do stuff. And
now they play tonight against the Sixers. This podcast is being recorded before that, but will be posted afterwards. So this may look foolish, but Miami is beginning to feel, I think, the lack of Dragic and Winslow. Their last five games have not been great. They've eked out some wins against bad teams. And
Luka got hurt in the Dallas game, and they still barely won, and it went into overtime. But yeah, I still like them, and the best thing about them is they have a trade to make.
Wiggins didn't make your list? All surprise team?
Him and Dwight Howard, I'm just never buying
just
in.
Out.
People are sending me emails every day. Are you ready to admit you're wrong on Dwight? I'm like, no, never. Dwight could be hosting the trophy, and I'm like, I still don't believe it.
Finals MVP.
Yeah. Dwight, our finals MVP is Dwight Howard. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying in yet. I just can't. We had four different teams were just dying to unload him like he was the worst Yankee Christmas swap gift of all time. 4 years in a row, teams were like, here, we'll give you other stuff if you take Dwight Howard.
It is very strange that he's on all these crappy teams, Atlanta, Charlotte, Washington. For a second, he was on Washington. The Wizards era was a really
brief second.
And every team he'd be on, he would post up a lot, and he would like travel, and then he would launch a jump hook that would like hit the side of the backboard and almost hit the spectator in the face. And then they would like keep letting him do it, and he would keep doing it because that's the way Dwight wanted to play. And everyone would be like, this is stupid. This is dumb. Why are we doing this? And then he gets to the Lakers, and every year he would promise he was going to play differently, and then he would play that way. And then he gets to the Lakers and like, what happened? Did LeBron yell at him? He's posted up like three times the whole year. I don't understand how you go from trying to be Hakeem Olajuwon 100 times a game to like, you know what? I'm just not going to ever do that. Now I buy in. I guess I don't know.
You just, by the way, add that to LeBron's MVP case.
If it was him,
not only did he suck all of the bad stuff out of Dwight Howard's game, at least so far, I'm still not convinced, but they actually have a weird kind of connection. Like Dwight knows where to go and what to do. He's played in a lot of big games and he's played with a lot of good players. And when guys are like driving down the lane, he does kind of know how to drift into these spots with his hands up, which sounds basic, but
no,
how many big guys know how to do that? Like that's why I like Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice kind of floats around, but his hands are up and he's always ready to like get a pass. Dwight's a better example of that because the lane's wide open because everyone's so worried about LeBron.
What if Rob Pelinka called Danny Ainge right now and said, we'll trade you Dwight for Daniel Tice? Would you do it if you were Danny Ainge?
Could never have Dwight. Just could never have him.
What about Dwight in a future first?
I can't
for
do
Daniel
it. There is a case that maybe he just needed to lose 40 pounds of muscle and go back to being athletic and that he just got too bulked up. But it doesn't explain like what a jack everybody seemed to think he was at
everywhere,
every stop.
Everywhere.
The most reviled teammate who wasn't a bad person of this decade. Like there's been reviled teammates who are actually like bad people. Doesn't seem like he's a bad person, but the consensus everywhere was like, this guy, oh my God, can't wait to get rid of him.
I mean, when he tried out for the Lakers, remember they had that workout and like Maurice Spates was one of the guys that was working out.
Right.
And Joakim Noah was working out. Everyone was like, oh, they won't pick Dwight. Like, Dwight, that's a disaster. It's nice that they're giving him a workout. And then you're like, then you heard like, he killed the workout. Dwight killed the workout.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, are they really going to fall for it? Are they going to fall for it again? But it's working. So those are your surprises, huh? I would like your negative surprises more than your positive surprises. That's always more fun.
Well, Kyrie's got to be number one.
You're loving this. The Nets are 11-5 without Kyrie, and every time they win without Kyrie, you're the first person I think of. Like I feel like you're just like chalking it up on a chalkboard in your house or something. Like, here's the number, chalk it up.
It's just
one.
Funny because there's these stories, and it's a lot of the same Mad Libs kind of news report stories in The Athletic or whatever place about the Nets, and it's just not the same as last year yet. We got to get back. Guys got to start looking out for all these like code words that the chemistry's way off, and then he got hurt. And then it just flips and everybody's like, yeah, we're starting to feel like we used to be.
You know
me. It is what it is.
You know me.
He's hard to play with.
Not a hot take guy. I resist the heat of the takes.
Yes.
It's not a hot take anymore to begin wondering why these teams keep winning without Kyrie Irving. Because as we talked about before we started recording, this is now year three of this where at the very least, teams lose him. And last year in Boston was weird because they would lose him for a couple games and then another couple games. There wasn't like a sustained long stretch, but their record was really good. Teams are losing him and not suffering. Now, that's not the same as being definitively better without him, which is a place I'm not quite ready to go yet. But it's not controversial anymore to say that these teams lose Kyrie Irving and they don't seem to lose very much. If they have another ball handler waiting in the wings, it's like it just keeps happening. I'm sorry that the Nets are 11-5 without Kyrie Irving. It's just, it's true.
He doesn't try that hard on defense, which is always tough in a league where point guards are so important.
Until the Milwaukee series where he started trying to guard Giannis and like yelling for people to get out. I got this! No, it's me! It's me! Jaylen Brown, get out of the way! I'm taking him! Giannis dunks 1 second later. Oh, didn't have him.
There's other clips from that series where he's just kind of wandering around like a little kid at a playground, just kind of jogging around aimlessly as basketball is being played in his near vicinity. I think the biggest reason that this happens, and I can't even blame him for this totally, he's so talented and he's so good at what he does that in the last 5 minutes of a game, it seems absurd that anyone else would shoot. And I think everybody kind of feels that. It's like when they get the ball, it's like, well, I shouldn't be shooting. Kyrie should have it. And so everybody just kind of stands around and waits for him to do something. And it's a little like the Harden-Houston thing, except he's not as good as Harden. The team's not built for him to do that. The Nets had this beautiful ball movement. I mean, Joe Harris is the other guy. Everybody mentions Dinwiddie, but Joe Harris, it'll be kind of fascinating to see what he gets in the summer. He makes $7 million this year. He's going to be making like $20 million next year.
I was going to say the phrase at least double his money has been thrown around by league insiders.
Like, remember Ryan Anderson that year? He got like $20 million a year. And yeah. I think Joe Harris is better than Ryan Anderson, but that would have seemed absurd until it actually happened.
Joe Harris is good. He's a good all around player.
Joe Harris is
he's
good.
Tough,
you know what defense. Really helped him? Drum roll. Team USA.
Wow.
He was in some big games.
And he played pretty well.
Well, the Team USA, when the Suns started out hot, the Suns started out hot. What was they, 5-2?
Yeah.
And the Suns fan base was, hey, Simmons, how'd the Team USA thing work out for Booker, huh? And now they're 11-16. I just want to point that out. Maybe it would have helped.
I'm just going to let that stand.
Maybe the experience.
I'm just going to let it stand.
Maybe the experience of playing in some really highly competitive games with loud crowds would have helped.
I like the midseason. I don't like that he got suspended. But I like the mid-season re-injection of DeAndre Ayton is like, oh, I have a new thing to be interested in with the Suns. Like, how is this going to work? DeAndre Ayton, he might be the league leader in quickest, in shortest amount of time between ball hitting my fingertips and ball being shot towards the rim. All that dude wants to do is shoot mid-range. He catches the ball at 18 feet, and it's like, I don't even blink, and the ball is already at the basket. He just wants to shoot mid-range jumpers. He's going to be one of these centers who's 7-1 and giant and shoots two free throws a game because all he wants to do is shoot mid-range jumpers.
You can only imagine where I stand on his ceiling.
You're still debating the Luka or Ayton pick in your head. It's a tough choice.
I would be shopping him right now.
People are going to say that's crazy. It seems premature to me. I do think that teams should think further out of the box about guys on rookie scale contracts. And patient zero of this should be Michael Carter Williams, because when the Sixers traded him, oh, Hinkie, we got to get Hinkie out of there. He doesn't care about players. This is ridiculous. So, like, actually, it turns out that was a really good trade, and he read the situation perfectly.
Yes.
And they leveraged the picks they got for him into lots of other stuff. Let's do all NBA.
Or, like, all the great trades Orlando made. Oh, wait, all of those are awful. They getting rid of Oladipo.
Oh.
No, I'm making fun of Orlando. Yeah, no, if I were the Suns, I wouldn't want Ayton on that team. I would want to build a really fun kind of Portland Blazers-y 2 years ago type of team around, like, guards and shooting and all that. I don't know where he fits in. Guess who I don't want shooting? DeAndre Ayton.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they reintegrate him, because they obviously, Jonathan Sharks wrote a great piece on The Ringer about why Baines was such a good fit. He doesn't need the ball, or if he needs it, he needs it only to shoot wide open threes.
Yeah, but what happened to Baines?
And he got injured.
Yeah, but why did he get injured?
Playing too many minutes.
He's a guy who plays 17 minutes
a game.
No,
I agree. I'm just
35.
Saying, but the point was that player type is a natural center fit for the personnel they have, and Ayton is the polar opposite playoff player type. He needs the ball in the paint, and defense is not, let's say, been his calling card in his career.
It's a prototype that doesn't work if you actually want to win playoff games. In this current NBA, and this is why the Luka thing was so crazy 2 years ago, and we do this all the time where it's like center guard and or center perimeter guy, and everybody drifts toward the center because that's what the legacy of the league is. And it's like, go look at the last 35 finals. How many centers were involved? It was like Hakeem Olajuwon. Shaq for 3 years. That's it.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was thinking about this with Ayton before the season and how he doesn't really fit into any prototype on offense. So if he's like
actually winning a title or making the finals.
Yeah, if you broke down centers, you would have like, all right, there's the Embiid back to the basket, great defender guy, and that he operates, you know, he'll learn his trail threes, but he's a post up guy at heart, and he's just like will bruise you and take 10 free throws a game. Then there's rim runner guy. That's your classic rim runner play defense, Tyson Chandler prototype. Like one of the things we've learned about that guy is that guy has to be top five defensive player in the league to be on a really good championship contending team. And you're already starting to see it with Gobert. Like just a little bit of slippage from Gobert, who's the apex of that player type right now. And it's like, something doesn't feel right. Is this okay? Now let's give Gobert time. Then you have the Jokic prototype, which is just, and I realize he's an anomaly, but like the guy you can run your offense through and drags the other.
My biggest disappointment this year.
Well, he's coming along. He's coming along. He's starting. And like Towns sort of exists as this like different version of like that, the outside in offense first center. But anyway.
That's the Joe House case against Towns. I'm not winning a title with Towns because I'm not getting stops if he's my anchor. And on the flip side, you mentioned Tyson Chandler. That was 9 years ago. League's a little different.
Yeah.
But still.
And that was apex Tyson Chandler.
It was Tyson Chandler, Sean Marion. And it was like a football team that was just like tough in the trenches. And they won the trenches with those two guys.
I have a feeling Kat is going to come up in our All-NBA discussion one way or another, so let's do that.
Trade Ayton.
First team All-NBA, 30
this
games
into
the season.
This is the layup of all time, this top. But well, Davis has to be center.
So this is – everything flows from this. You cheat and put Anthony Davis at center?
It's not a cheat.
So then it's Harden, Doncic, James, Giannis, Davis. That's it.
And those are the best five players in the league this year, and Siakam sixth.
So I have two versions of my all NBA teams. One of them is the cheat and put Davis at center version, which honestly, Bill, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm normally like bend the rules as much as possible.
I know he really doesn't play center.
He doesn't really play center for more than 10 minutes a game. If that, in some games he plays almost none, and it feels like an aggressive personal choice that he has made, and the Lakers had to build their roster this way because he made the choice actively. I do not want to play center. When it comes down to nut cutting time and I have to actually vote, I'm going to think really hard about, do I want to cheat and put him at center because he has had a first team all NBA season, or because if he's not a center, if he's a forward, he's on the second team.
I agree.
But there's just LeBron and Giannis have been better.
So who's, all right. So let's say he's not. So we'll do sliding doors. We'll go both ways. So if he's not the center, then who's your center?
Embiid.
Yeah, I really wanted to put Bam in there, and
I can't fit Bam on any of my
teams. It just feels stupid. I've fallen this habit in the past where I just kind of want to do something, and it's not the right move.
So the two centers I felt that way about.
Philly's playing well. They're 20-8.
The two centers I felt that way about when I started listing the centers, like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool to like sneak Bam onto third team or sneak Sabonis onto third team?
Yeah.
All-NBA.
Sabonis.
Like, you can't quite do it.
13.5 rebounds a game for Sabonis.
Joel Embiid having, by his standards, just an okay offensive season.
He's still,
too many turnovers.
Still awesome.
Defensively, he is, when he's engaged, he is the best defensive player in the league. He is an absolute soul-crushing monster. And when you look at cleaning the glass and they tell you where teams shoot from when so-and-so player is on the court, Joel Embiid almost broke that website because the shots at the rim against the Sixers fall so far down that it just says 99th percentile because they just can't go any higher than how far it drops with Embiid.
They have to add
a
new percentile.
Yeah, and like, by the way, same thing with threes. Like, all you get when Joel Embiid is on the floor is mid-range shots. That's it. The guy is an absolute monster defensive player.
And that's why he has to be the first team.
But if you don't put Davis. If you put Davis first team, then Embiid becomes second team, and third team center becomes a very interesting debate.
It's a tribute to Embiid, and it's also a great insult to Embiid that we're so agonized about whether he should be the first team All-NBA center or not when he's this talented. And when even – I don't think anybody feels like he's having an awesome season.
Least of all him. He seems to be going through some sort of existential crisis about he's not having fun anymore.
Yeah, there's weird stuff going on. I've heard there's in the weird whisper circles, there's like a lot of like, what's going on with him? Why is he so unhappy? But I will say this. He's the Celtics' kryptonite. And I think that's the one team the Celtics can't beat in the playoffs. The Celtics are going to be really good. When they get Smart back, I don't even necessarily think they have to make a trade unless they improve the Wanamaker spot, because it's amazing to me how many clutch minutes he's played. I'm not sure they can beat Philly. It's the matchup's just bad for them. The length and the size and the fact that anything at the rim, Embiid's just going to swallow up. And
he was so good in that game last weekend in Boston.
Like, Kemba has had real problems against the Clippers. Did the same thing. They blocked like 7 shots at the rim with him. The teams that can really protect the rim, he does struggle a little bit because he's not a big guy. He's like 5'11", 6 feet.
Kemba, I'm 5'11 and 3/4", and Kemba's not as tall as me.
Yeah. So you can kind of stop him at the rim. That was what made Kyrie so special. He'd go to the rim and he'd do his weird Kyrie and he would make the shot anyway. Well,
Philly's got a lot of problems, right? Like, not a lot. They have a lot of issues to sort out. But one issue they don't have is Embiid drops back and protects the rim. Josh Richardson and Ben Simmons chase point guards over screens. That's a fucking problem. Like, the good, like, if you're Kemba and you're in a Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson sandwich, whatever space you think you have, Josh Richardson's arms are coming from behind you and Embiid's arms are coming towards you. Like, good luck. That's not, I mean, he had a good game in that game too, but like, just, you know,
Simmons has shown a knack for being like truly great defensively in big moments. But he will actually make superstar plays.
He
did that Indiana game a couple Saturdays ago.
He had back-to-back games that he clinched with steals. He looked like Deion Sanders. He couldn't throw the ball to his side of the floor.
Is it hyperbole? I know you're anti-hot take.
I'm already going to say yes.
Are you pro-hyperbole?
I'm hoping this is hyperbole is what I'm saying.
Is the ceiling of the Sixers team defensively, that's it, the highest we've had since those Pistons mid-2000s teams?
I don't think that's hyperbole. Okay. I picked the Sixers to make the finals in part because I think defensively they are going to get themselves into some – maybe I don't know what they'll do against Milwaukee. That's the Christmas game I'm looking forward to most, by the way. more than LA.
Oh, yeah. Because when we did for Book of Basketball, we did a Pistons-Laker game from 04. And what they had with the Wallace brothers and Prince, those are their three forwards, basically. I mean, I was just like, oh my God, I totally forgot. Like, if you're Slava Medvedenko, you're not scoring. That's it. You may as well just not put sneakers on.
I'll tell you, I was at Clippers Suns last night. It's only the Suns, but every Clippers game where they have everybody will feature a 4 to 5 minute stretch where they decide where Beverly, Kawhi, Harkless and George decide we're going all out. And you're like, I just see arms. Like, I'm sitting there on press row. I'm right in the middle of the first section. I'm just like, I can't really even see the game. I just see a bunch of arms, like, flying around, and I hear Pat Beverly screaming. And that's all I hear. It's just like a noise more than basketball. It's just a noise.
We should have put Harkless on the all-surprise team because I'm not surprised by it because he's been in big games. But, you know, everybody's like, oh, they'll flip him for Iguodala. Just seemed like the logical trade. I wouldn't trade Harkless. And I don't know what I'm getting with Iguodala. I don't know if I can get somebody who can stay healthy for 2.5 months in the playoffs.
So let's take Davis at center.
Yeah.
Let's go from there because that's what you did. So we'll go from there. What's your second team?
I do hate cheating. I am with you.
I'm going to cheat a little bit on the second team in both iterations of it. So you do tell me.
Well, some would say Doncic at guard is cheating because
not
he's,
cheating,
but I don't feel like
their starting lineup has Finney Smith at two big guys and Doncic. Okay. So I'm allowed. And Doncic, by the way, I checked with the league. Doncic is almost certainly going to be eligible at guard and forward, as will Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. So we're fine with that.
All right. So second team with Davis at center becomes pretty easy for me. Kawhi and Siakam.
Yes. Agreed. Embiid.
Embiid. Sorry, Bam. Kemba's got to be one of the two because of I think not only is he having a good season, but the leadership.
Disagree because I cheated, but tell me your other guard.
Disagree on Kemba?
Yeah, because I cheated. But your two guards, so your second team guards are Kemba and who?
Bradley Beal. I'm breaking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm breaking. One of my rules is don't take a guy in a team. I'm so impressed by him. I'm so impressed that team has an identity. They were going to be one of the three worst teams in the league. They run everything through him. He makes other guys better.
Do you care that they're way worse when he's on the floor? Well, I don't because I think that stat is a little bit misleading because
I can only
starters.
Judge by what I'm watching.
He's playing – he's the best starter in a lineup that right now includes Jan Mahinmi and Isak Bonga.
I just think their
going against other starters.
Their team and broken down Isaiah Thomas, and it's like, how is this team scoring 150 points?
So this will be very interesting when we get to the end of the year because the taking players from a team,
and you know I'm against it,
is going to become an issue because there are a lot of guards and a couple forwards that are going to qualify in that. But I do think it's important to note there are degrees of, and so the Wizards right now, as we're recording this, are 8-17 with a -4 point differential. The Atlanta Hawks, with another guard candidate, Trae Young, who has better. Well, I was just saying, this is what I'm saying. They're 6-22 with a -10 point differential.
And some of the most embarrassing losses.
Those are totally different degrees of. And I agree with you. Trae Young will not make my ballot as of right now, and should not because the Hawks are just too bad.
So the case before the Rip City blog writes another anti-Simmons piece for the Blazers fans. Here's why I have Beal over Lillard. I feel like Beal has maximized the potential of this horrible Washington roster, right? The 8-17 is a miracle. That team should be like 3-30. Portland is actually, they're 11-16. That's kind of crazy. I know they've had some injuries,
yeah,
but.
A lot of injuries.
I know.
They signed Carmelo Anthony and he's averaging 17 points a game for them.
I know. But they have McCollum.
Can I tell you who my second team guards were?
Yeah.
So this is, again, the Davis at center scenario. So okay. Kawhi, Siakam, and Embiid, we all agree.
Yeah.
Kawhi, people are going to throw the load management thing. He's probably only going to play 60 games. That's fine. For all NBA second team. Now, if it came down to first team versus second team, then you might use that as evidence to knock him on the second team. But second team, I'm fine.
Can you hold that thought 1 second?
Yes.
People can f*** off if they don't think he's – Kawhi is the finals MVP. He is the best player in the league in a playoff series until somebody beats him. He might be the best player in the league. If my life depended on one game, I would probably pick him. By rule, he can't drop lower than second team.
Okay.
This is just a rule.
Okay.
You can't be like, first.
I'm with you.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying for the people out there, This is what he gets. This is the big piece of chicken at the table when dad comes home and he gets the first choice. Kawhi
did
gets first choice.
People used to eat this way? Yeah. When did families
eat this
way? It's
the Chris Rock joke that's just lingered on for 25
years. But did anyone, did your family ever eat this way? A big giant cooked chicken?
I think it's
chicken,
like a 1950s thing.
And
where
just
dad
people are just ripping
pick.
Pieces of chicken yeah. off the chicken.
That's
not
gets
how
the first
it works.
Piece. Finals MVP.
Look, we agree. My two guards are where we disagree on both of them. Wow. I have Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
So I expect the Rip City blogger, Blazers Edge, to write a fawning 600-word post about
good.
Me.
Well, that's right. You're smarter than I am.
Fawning. And this is where I cheated a little bit, although I don't think it's cheating. I put Paul George as my second team guard.
Oh, that's a full cheat.
Why?
That's terrible.
Their starting lineup is
come
Patrick
on.
Beverly and
Paul
three
George.
Combo forwards.
He's like 6'10".
Who's the shooting guard in Los Angeles'
that's
starting
ridiculous.
Lineup? Who's the shooting guard in their starting lineup?
That's a full cheat.
Is it Kawhi? Is it Mo Harkless? Who's the
say,
two?
I personally
who's
said
the
Mo
two?
Harkless.
Mo Harkless guards fours a lot. I'm cheating and I'm going with Paul George because he's one of the defining players of the season. And until and unless the league prohibits
that's
me from
good.
Doing that, he's my second team guard.
That's
along
pretty
with
good.
Miller.
I admire your ingenuity on that one.
It's not even ingenuity. He guarded Ricky Rubio last night.
Did he really?
He's the starting shooting guard of the Los Angeles Clippers. Book it.
Well, if that's the case, then he should be second team all NBA.
Well, you can't go back now. You already chose Bradley Beal and gave
no,
a
I
lovely,
made my
lovely.
Picks. I was just trying to play within the rules. I didn't know you were bending the rules.
Okay, give me third team. The third team it gets a little interesting.
What's shocking to me is how many centers we have.
Yeah, third team. If you put
remember
David,
when we thought the centers were dead?
No one should have ever thought that.
I have Harrell listed, Towns, Sabonis, Drummond, Gobert, and Jokic. Six guys playing pretty well.
Yeah. All those guys are good. Yeah, if you put Davis at center, there's going to be some angry fan bases that their guy didn't make third team All-NBA center. If you put Davis at forward.
Couple block posts. Piston powered is going to be mad. Is that the Pistons one?
Yeah.
We should do a quiz.
Andre Drummond was one of the first guys I crossed off in that list that you just read.
I have, this is a personal thing. It's the 30-game mark. It's not going to last the rest of my life like our NBA, all NBA voting ours when the people who voted for Westbrook that year, they have that on their resume for the rest of their lives. Bam is my all team, my third all NBA.
I'm not even going to fight with you about it.
I love what he does. But perfect center for the kind of basketball I would want my team to play. I wish he was on the Celtics.
Who were they? I think it was Atlanta, the Trae Young, it's over game. What
yeah.
an embarrassing moment for Trae Young.
The whole season's been embarrassing.
56 seconds left in the game, you're declaring it over. Bam, that game went to overtime, and Bam iced it with the Pete Maravich, Rajon Rondo fake behind the back pass, layup and one. I let out an audible yelp on my, oh! Like one of those, like, cause I really like
he's Bam. Had some great league pass moments this year.
He has like three triple doubles.
I'm all in on Bam. So he's my center. Lillard would be, would have to be one of the guards.
Okay.
And then it's Brogdon or Simmons for the other spot.
Love it. Love that Brogdon got a mention.
And I would have to go with Simmons because of what he's done defensively. I don't love it, but I had to mention Brogdon. So those would be my two guards. Who are your two guards? I didn't finish.
Forwards.
Oh, so then forwards. So I had Paul George as one forward.
Okay.
Playing by the rules. And
some
then
people play by the rules. Some of us are bad boys who
and then I think it's Jimmy Butler with all due respect to my guys in Boston.
They're,
my two-way guys.
They made the short list for me.
Yeah.
Tatum and Brown.
As two-way guys, they're in the conversation. Whatever conversation you want to have, they have to mention. It's a big reason why they're playing so well.
So I went Kemba, and I'll get to the second guard later. Butler is a no-brainer at one of the forward spots.
Yep.
I put Jokic at third team, kind of looking forward. As like he's starting to play a little bit more like Jokic. By the end of the season, he'll be here. To me, leaving off Towns was hard. Because Towns has had such a sensational offensive season, and they are dead on offense without him. They cannot score at all, but their defense is so bad.
And it's
so bad.
He has to be blamed for that a little bit.
No, he's part of the problem. And some of the public stats are a little wishy-washy about that. I checked with some guys who work for teams, like, hey, what does your internal fancy metrics say about Towns' defense? They're like, yeah, as bad as ever. So I took Towns out and put Jokic in. That left a guard and a forward. My last guard spot... You're not going to like this at all. I swear to God I did not do this to spite you. I put Devin Booker.
Wow.
if you
now, I'm not anti Devin Booker. I'm not in a feud with Devin Booker.
I think you are in a feud.
They're 11-16, and in one of the games they just lost, they didn't play.
Bradley Beal is 8-17.
I know.
So Devin Booker's shooting numbers right now: 51% overall, 40% from three, 55% from two. That is just outrageously good.
It's great.
Like, and so over Beal, over Donovan Mitchell, who we haven't mentioned, who's coming on a little bit, I went Booker again. It's a placeholder. The last forward spot, since I cheated and put Paul George at guard, is just a wide open race. You want to hear some names?
Sure.
Simmons, because he'll be eligible at both guard and forward.
He's a guard.
Tobias Harris.
He's more of a guard than Paul George.
Tobias Harris.
Sure.
Brandon Ingram.
Tobias Harris available.
Brandon Ingram.
Do you want him? You want to trade for him?
No. Brandon Ingram. Too many losses.
I can't do Brandon Ingram.
And then the Boston guys.
At least the Boston guys are winning.
There was part of me that thought, could you put Bam or Sabonis as forwards? Because, you know, Bam starts alongside Myers Leonard and often
Sabonis
guards
has
power
a
forwards.
Better case.
Sabonis guards fours. Could you get cute? So I'm leaving that one open right now. I would probably put Simmons right now.
Open?
They're just like, I would probably put Simmons right now. Simmons is in pencil right now. But I want to see
how Sabonis case is fun.
I'm trying. Like, Sabonis plays a lot of center, obviously, when Turner's not on the floor and they split him up. But like, he starts at power forward. Bam starts defending opposing power forwards.
I still haven't seen anybody fully realize how to stop the Sabonis Brogdon pick and roll.
Those guys have been so good, the two of them. And Sabonis,
Brogdon is basically a European guy, even though he's from here. The way he plays and the stuff he does is not American.
He's really, really good.
If it came out that he was living in like Lithuania for the first 13 years of his life, I wouldn't be shocked.
Then he wouldn't be eligible to be president, and everyone wants him to be president.
Oh, that's true.
President Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah. It's a tough beat for the Bucks fans.
I
know the Bucks fans are playing great. And by the way, we've come around because the Bucks fans are now super sensitive about this. Stop mentioning Brogdon. We're 27-4 or whatever. It's a tough beat because I would have loved to have seen the same Sabonis screen with Giannis, the best player in the league, would have been a fun thing to watch at crunch time.
There are two reasons that the Brogdon thing has to be a little bit of a TBD. Although I think, you know, they lost a quality player, obviously. Number one, we'll see in the playoffs, right? The Bucks can win all the games they want in the regular season. This is about the playoffs. And we all saw what happened to Eric Bledsoe in the playoffs last year, particularly in the conference finals. And number two, they're only a little bit under the tax, right? And the narrative is that they didn't want to pay the tax. What they really didn't want was to go like $25 million over the tax in retaining Brogdon. They are going to have an opportunity at the trade deadline to make an incremental trade that takes them from under the tax to like a little bit over the tax, a reasonable amount over the tax. I think if they were to do that, and they have the Pacers pick, remember they have the Pacers lottery protected pick from the Brogdon trade. If they were to do that, I think they would regenerate some goodwill with the fans who are criticizing them for ducking the tax. The other thing I will say is the idea that Giannis is going to be mad about Brogdon being gone, he gave a quote recently about how, you know, of course he likes to play with Malcolm, but he's being polite. He would like to play with other good players. The idea that they did not go to Giannis and say, are you going to be all right with this and get his okay? Is ludicrous. Of course they did. Of course they went to Giannis and said, look, this is the situation. Are you going to be mad if we do this? And I'm not even reporting this. I'm just assuming that they followed common sense logic and that he was okay with it.
And even if he wasn't okay with it, what are you going to do? He's under contract for two more years.
No, if he's
Although
not
we
okay
are in
with
his pre-agency.
It, if he's not okay with it, you let him make the deal if he wants to sign Brogdon to whatever contract he wants.
Well, I think you make the move where we'll do this, but are you staying? The rumor mill is already going with the Giannis thing, even though it's a year and a half away.
It's not a year and a half away, though. It's 6 months away. The moment you turn it down, it's usually over.
Right. The sweepstakes are on at that point. Yeah, but I'm saying a year and a half from when he could actually switch teams. And it's funny to hear these different teams. They're all the usual suspects floating out like, Duncan. But I think he could be the one guy that stays.
Oh, for sure. Why not? The team is awesome. The coach is awesome. He likes it there. He likes the city. He's put down roots there in a lot of different ways. I think him staying is the most likely scenario. But there are a lot of scenarios. Well, really two. He stays or he leaves. But
Pat Riley deserves to be watched at all times with this stuff.
Oh, you can't take your eyes off Pat Riley. No way. He's got the bag of rings ready to go.
He's got his speeches. He's been refining them for 40 years.
I would be worried about getting in a room with Pat Riley myself. Like I would worry that I would go meet Pat Riley and all of a sudden I'd be calling ESPN and be like, hey, I just took a huge pay cut. I'm going to go work for the Heat.
I'm all in. He just dumps the rings on the table.
Not that he would be stupid enough to offer me a job. I'm just saying I would worry about getting in a room with Pat Riley. That's all.
We didn't talk about coaches in this, and you know, I'm in the camp of coaches don't 100% matter as much as we usually think they do. I think they matter when they're terrible. I thought Spoelstra has been incredible this year. That team is just a hodgepodge weirdo team of parts, and you never know who's showing up from night to night. And they have, we had to talk about Deion Waiters. Yeah. This crazy Deion Waiters situation.
I mean, it's crazy.
Really a staring contest now. They don't have to – the thing the NBA teams just don't have to do is just, all right, we'll pay you, just go away, which is the right move.
Yeah.
But teams don't seem to do that. They seem to be scared of the other agents. But we had a sad moment when we got together last week and boarded up our stuff on Waiters Island, took it off.
Power's been out for a while.
It's rough.
Supply's been dwindling.
It's tough. Tough year for islands.
What other islands have there?
Well, the Epstein Island, that was rough. Yeah. The Waiters Island. Island year.
You guys did a piece a couple of years ago about all the different NBA geographic formations, geological formations. It was like Hazonia Cove.
Oh, yeah.
there was a lot of good ones.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Hazonia Cove is also – that one flooded and is not
Before going we well. Go, do you want to do – what team do you want most Drew Holiday to go to? Because mine is Denver.
I was going to say Denver is the Denver for Gary Harris and some stuff is the most obvious one.
Gary Harris, Porter.
See,
you wouldn't throw Porter in there?
I just don't know enough about him, but I don't, based on the intel coming out of there, I don't think they would put Porter in. I don't think they would view Drew over Gary as a big
enough. Is he the new Roddy Bubois of this 2019?
Don't say that.
He's untouchable. Is that anything?
Miami? He'd be really interesting in Dallas if they could find a way to get him. But I given all the picks they traded to the Knicks and stuff.
I don't think they have anything left.
I don't know what they have.
We haven't made fun of the Knicks yet. How that Porzingis trade worked out though. How do you get no assets out of that trade?
You bringing Jason Concepcion onto your podcast to talk about the Knicks.
Yeah. It's sad.
I feel like that was workplace abuse, and there should have been a human resources investigation about that.
It's a fair point. He could file a complaint. He'll complain about this in the office all the time about the Knicks, though. So I just basically put a microphone in front of him. But that trade is about as little of a return as we've ever seen for somebody who is considered like a franchise guy.
But he's not a franchise guy. I think that's one of the lessons.
At the time they made the trade, he was considered to be a franchise guy.
Yes. I think there was some question.
And they're going to end up with Dennis Smith Jr., like the 25th pick, and then 2 years from now, like the 28th pick. And that's what they got. And Tim Hardaway Jr., who's actually pretty good, who's, by the way, makes the same amount of money as Marcus Morris and these other guys that they had anyway.
Yeah, but nobody thought he was pretty good until he got to Dallas and started. But people thought he was okay. He'd have a good game every now and then. There was no heartbreak about losing Tim Hardaway Jr. Now he's playing with Luka and Porzingis.
People who listen to my podcast know I was always in on Tim Hardaway Jr. I was always like, why is he throwing? He's actually pretty good. He'll make shots.
Making $20 million a year. Can I do my Davis at not center versions?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So the second team essentially becomes Paul George at guard because I cheated. Lillard, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi as the forwards. Jokic at center over Kat. And then the third team becomes Kemba, Devin Booker, Jimmy Butler. Siakam has to slide to third team in this scenario, which is just like, what the hell is the guy got to do to get a first? But it's like, who's he going over? LeBron, Giannis, AD, or Kawhi? Those are the four forwards ahead of him.
This is the flaw in the...
Imagine if KD were playing.
But this is the flaw with the All-NBA thing, right? Where sometimes positions are loaded. Like Ewing in the 80s and 90s was always behind two other guys. And you saw like in the early 2000s where we had Duncan and Dirk, and KG and C-Webb, and it was like
Here's a sentence.
Four of the six best players in the league all play in one position.
We were talking on the jump today about Chris Webber and how I will never let the Chris Webber should be in the Hall of Fame thing die. And I said, you know, you'd actually be surprised. I think he only made like 3 or 4 All-Star teams. And Paul Pierce was like apoplectic. Like, how is that possible? I'm like, if you were a power forward in the West from like 91 to 2005, yeah. It was just like, Dirk, you're spanning Malone, Barkley to Dirk, KG. Like, there's no spots.
We may or may not have taped a Book of Basketball pod about him that I haven't run yet.
Ooh!
And, he was first team All NBA in 01.
He has at least one top five MVP finish.
So many good forwards that year, and he's one of the best too. Like, that counts for something.
He has to be in the
Hall of Fame. It's like, once Mitch Richmond got in, like, James Posey should be in at that point. Let's just let everybody in. Everyone ring. Yeah. Eddie House, you're in.
C-Webb needs to be in. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous that he's not in. Can you give me 90 seconds on the Celtics? We have to talk about the Celtics. I just want this simple answer.
Yeah.
Are the Celtics right now, Bill Simmons, a candidate to come out of the East?
Yes.
Okay.
Do I think it'll happen? Probably not. But I think there's 6 teams in the East that have a chance. I include Miami because I think they're going to make a trade.
And I agree.
I think the ceiling of that team has to be considered.
I'm not sure I agree. I think they'll try. I don't know if they'll find one.
Or maybe they won't pull it
off. But with the expirings, with Goran Dragic expiring,
it's here's the thing
stuff.
With the Celts, and people have to remember this. Right when they were really, really starting to cement this whole contender thing, Hayward got hurt. And then Smart got hurt. And Hayward came back. And now Hayward's foot – like they haven't really – had their team now for, I would say, a month. And as long as they, around March, they could have whatever their team is, I think they're going to be really good. And they can score. I also don't think Tatum has played that well offensively, and I still think he's been really good, but I feel like there's another level for him to go.
He hasn't shot
as a scorer.
Well.
He hasn't finished around the rim. Yeah. I feel like he should and could.
And yet he's averaging 21 a game.
But the team really likes each other and plays hard. And when Hayward comes back, they're just hard to play unless you're Philly, I think, would be the one team. But they've gone toe-to-toe with all the best teams, right? They've the Bucks, the Sixers, the Clippers.
That Clippers game here was – we were both at that game. That was an awesome game.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is the ceilings of teams, and this is what I worry about with Denver – because they've gotten their asses kicked a few times, which tells me something's wrong with them. The ceilings of about 8 or 9 teams, I think, are just so much higher. It's a really weird season. It's definitely top-heavy, but with a lot of teams this year, you know?
Both L.A. teams, when they play to their ceiling, are really, really good.
Because you're talking about there's going to be a 3-6 in each conference, and both teams will be really good.
Yep.
Your 3-6 in the East could end up being, I don't know, Philly-Miami.
Yeah, right now it's Boston, Indiana, but it's all right. Those teams, 2 to 6 are within 2 games of each other in the loss column.
And then in the West, the 6th team could be what, like Utah?
Utah right now is in 6th by a decent
margin. Would you want to see Utah in round 1? I know they haven't been playing great, but.
Yeah, if they figure it out and Conley gets healthy, no, but I don't want to see any of these other teams in round 1 either. Right now it would be Dallas, Utah, 3-6.
I think the hardest thing about this season from a projection standpoint is there's so many tradable pieces this year. That, like somebody, like take Bogdanovich on Sacramento, who Windhorst threw out last week on
good
my
player.
Podcast. And I was like, oh yeah, he's 8.5, he's in RFA next summer. That's somebody that's pretty, you can add an 8.5 guy. You can throw a couple salaries together and a draft pick and steal somebody like that. You could, the Wizards are claiming they're not going to trade Bertans. They'll trade Bertans. Give me a break.
If you offer them something real. Yeah, if you bowl them over.
They're trading him. But there's guys like that. Even I think Marcus Morris, who I think is a ball stopper and I would not trade for if I was a contender, but there's a lot of guys like that. And I think the trade deadline's fascinating.
If you found a way to get Bertans on Philly, oh my God. All the open outside shots they get because of the help they draw. And like to get a guy who's tall enough to just, you pass him the ball. He doesn't need a lot of space. He doesn't have to run around like JJ. Just post up and like he stands around and he gets open threes. That would be lethal if they got him.
I was thinking if he went to the Lakers, that would enrage everybody.
To play some of like the Kuzma, Jared Dudley, if it was whatever
like,
minutes.
Yeah, if it was like the Pau trade. You know, where it was like, wait a second, wait, what? That's all they gave up? If it was one of those trades. Kuzma's, and even like Bertans on that team with the wide open threes would be a nightmare.
Kuzma is really interesting because I realize he's played – how many games has he played? Not very many this season. He hasn't been healthy. When he has played, he's looked okay. His fit is just weird. His fit on this team is weird.
I think he's a goner in 2 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is just, again, speculation, but it just – that makes sense. Like, it makes sense that they'll look around and see, can we get anything by attaching him to some other stuff? Because the fit – it's just weird. It just looks and
him
feels
plus
weird.
Boogie plus one other can get you into that 7-8 million range where there's some good guys this year.
Just feels weird. All right. Well, we got a lot of time to kill.
That was really fun,
Bill. Thank you for doing this. It's always a pleasure to see you in LA and visit the Ringer, theringer.com.
I'm still excited that you're doing TV. I remember once upon a time trying to convince you to do TV, and you were acting like you was asking to pour acid on yourself or something.
I think I was.
I'm not doing that.
I was afraid.
No, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. You start doing that, and that was like what you were telling
me. It's
fun. And now you like it.
It's fun.
But you were good at it right away.
The players, I have found that it helps with players. Players,
yeah.
Because it's on their hotel rooms. It's like they're like, oh, that guy, I vaguely recognize that dude. He said something. Well, sometimes you say something not nice about them, and they really remember.
That was the most shocking thing for me, being on Countdown that first year and just letting it fly on things, and then, you know. Because somebody's uncle will tell them about it, or, you know, their mom will see it, and that's when it goes to.
And then sometimes there are consequences. Like, if someone else at ESPN says something bad about a player, they're just mad at ESPN, period.
Yeah.
Kind of like how some GMs were mad at me when I worked at Grambling.
That's true. Some GMs.
By osmosis of being near you. All right. Read the Ringer. What else? Book a basketball podcast. How many do we have left?
We've done – it's basically going to be one a week for a while. We've done like 12 or 13.
So look for
some
those
good
every
ones coming.
Week.
Still haven't run the Steve Nash one yet, which you will particularly love.
I'm excited about that.
Thanks for coming out. Got to get you on again for another one.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, Bill Simmons, everybody. The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.